Who's fired up about Easter 24? Come on, somebody.
Woo!
It's going to be absolutely the best Easter, the greatest harvest of souls we have ever had in that week, and we are so excited. Our question is going to be all month, who are you bringing that needs Jesus? Who are you bringing to Easter? Listen, don't invite Mamaw that goes to First Baptist Podunk Holler. She's not coming. If she comes, she won't like it. She won't like the lights. She won't like it's too loud, and she'll be mad at you. Bring people that need Jesus, all right? Come on. Listen, if you're not going to bring anybody, if you would, if you go to one of our off-service times, that would help us on the gigantic service times of people that are bringing folks. So we're so excited. Welcome all of our campuses. Come on, North, shooting for 1,000. Pastor Noah, come on, you guys, kill it over there this weekend. All of our campuses, God Behind Bars, online. This time, sometime, anytime, we're thrilled that you're with us. We love you, and we want for you what God wants for you, and that is freedom. Easter is life from the dead. Resurrection from the tomb. Are you with me? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that is the will of God. Now, last weekend, hundreds of families made commitments to elevate in their giving. Just hundreds. Some committed to start, others committed to move to tithe. But listen, Jesus told us that Satan is a seed stealer and a weed dealer. Not weed, but weeds in your heart, okay? He could deal weed too, but that's not the weed we're talking about. And so it was 7 days ago that hundreds of families, so I want to ask you, is this weekend the week you're going to step in and obey? Are you going to put that off? See, because delay, come on, are y'all with me? We put it off, we get distracted, there's just so much. So it is incredible. So I want to challenge you. This weekend is the weekend of obedience. Just go ahead and step up. Just go ahead and begin to do what you told God that you would do, and let's just see what God does. All right, this weekend we're starting a new series entitled, What is Your Tomb? We're going to spend the next 4 weeks digging up things that are trapped in the tombs, digging up things that are buried in us that keep all of us trapped in a tomb. A tomb is a place designed for dead stuff. Are you with me? It's not designed for us to live in, like the Gadarene demoniac when Jesus shows up and he runs out of the tombs. A man filled with the legion, 7,600 demons, comes out and Jesus delivers him. Death belongs in a tomb, and life belongs outside of the tomb. Does that make sense? So what are the tombs that are in our life? What are the tombs that we're entrapped in? Well, it's things that we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves that we're unloved. We tell ourselves that God doesn't love us. We tell ourselves that we're abandoned. We tell ourselves, I'll never get off drugs. If you're married, maybe I'll never get pregnant or single. I'll never get married. I'll never graduate. I'll never lose this weight. I'll never get free. I'll never. Let me tell you, those I'll nevers will kill your purpose in the kingdom. Kill you. Rob you. Kill your purpose. Listen, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. He said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created unto good works, which Christ before ordained that we should walk in them. You already have a purpose, a God plan, and lies will keep you. These tombs will keep you from your potential in the kingdom. How good your marriage could be, how great your business could be, how close you could be to God, how you could raise up. I mean, there's so many things that the Lord wants. See, lies chain us from freedom. They're tombs that we allow ourselves to be stuck in. So we're going to dig up these lies. Are you with me? We're going to dig up these lies. We're going to walk out of the tomb. The tomb I want to talk to you about this weekend is one of the biggest, deepest, darkest, ugliest tombs there is, and it is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a tomb that we bury ourselves in. Are y'all with me? See, it is. And have you ever had the thought of being buried alive? You ever had a nightmare or watched a movie? Just the thought. You know, you wake up, you're in a box, you hear them dumping dirt on you. It's terrifying, isn't it? It's horrible. It's terrible. But that's what we do to ourselves when we choose unforgiveness. We just choose to be buried alive, latched in a tomb when freedom is available. Easter is resurrection power that is available for all of us. Paul said in Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. But here's what we do, okay? Are you with me? Here's what, if you're listening to Sam, here's what we do. Architecture is easier than archaeology. It's easier just to build something new, build a new marriage, build a new life, build a new, than it is to deal with dead. It's just easier. So if you've ever seen, you can build something up, but when you're archaeology, man, you're digging with a whisk broom, digging down, trying to uncover their treasures from the past. For us, it's lies that we have buried in our heart. And so what we tend to do is build our lives over lies that keep us from building a great life. Rather than walking in truth, we get trapped in a tomb. So if you want to have a great marriage, a great life, you want to build something big, the first thing you got to do is dig down deep. You don't build a skyscraper church on a chicken coop foundation. You don't build a skyscraper family or ministry or business or whatever. You've got to dig deep. Jesus said the wise man built his house on the rock. So you got to dig down before you can come up. Does that make sense? Now, is there freedom in Jesus? Come on, church, is there freedom? See, Jesus died to set you free from the things that keep you trapped in your tomb. John chapter 8, Jesus exposing us to this. John chapter 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He goes on in verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Come on, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So we're going to spend this month leading up to Easter. Pastor Zach asked me to launch this series, and we are going to spend this whole month getting ready for the miracle of Jesus coming out of the tomb. Man, we are going to walk out of our own tombs. See, Easter was the ultimate celebration of victory. And Easter is the proof that you can walk out of your tomb and your lies and your past and your shame and your guilt to the life that Jesus bought for you on the cross. Does that make sense? So we can do it. We believe Jesus is truth, so that means Jesus gets the last word over lies. Does God get the last word in your life? Come on, does he get the last word? When we talk about, then we break the word out and say, well, this is what God said. He gets the last word. See, Easter is not just a day to celebrate. Easter is a day to experience. Because we can all experience the resurrection out of tombs. Are you with me? So each weekend, we're going to dive into one of the last things that Jesus said to us and for us on the cross. And these truths are going to be keys that will unlock the tombs that we live in. So I want you to let truth shatter your shackles and help you shed the grave clothes. Is that the will of God for us? And so, man, let's start by looking at Jesus' last words. One of them we find in Luke's recording of the Passion and the cross in Easter, Luke chapter 23, verse 24, Jesus speaking to the people who had beat him, tortured him, scourged him, nailed him to a cross. Jesus looking at the people below him on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Would that be what you would have said to the people? Would that be what you said to someone that did that to your family? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Radical forgiveness gives us radical power to live our lives. Amen. I mean, it gives you radical forgiveness gives you resurrection power. See, Jesus lived out radical forgiveness up to his very last words. Father, forgive them. They just ripped off my skin. They just pulled out my beard. They just pounded a crown of thorns into my skull. They nailed me to this cross. Father, forgive them. That's radical. Come on, somebody. That's radical. If you go back to Matthew 6, we find Jesus giving us what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's an outline. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what I'm talking about? And he said, as he gives this outline for praise, he said, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He gets done with his prayer, and this is what he says. Hey, by the way, let me go back and talk about one thing out of that prayer. What was the one thing he talked about? Forgiveness. He said, hey, let me go back. The only thing Jesus gave commentary on out of the Lord's Prayer was when he said, Father, forgive them. He goes back, hey, let me talk to y'all. Listen, that's too radical for me to just skirt over. Let's go back and let's deal with that issue over and over and over. See, Jesus' last words should set us free. His last words should be our first words. Father, forgive them. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. The things that some people did to me, they don't deserve forgiveness. Neither did you. Yeah, but you don't know how deeply they hurt me. I really do. I understand being abandoned by my biological father at 3 years of age. I understand being emotionally and physically abused. I understand being sexually and psychologically abused. By the time I was 10 and 11, I should have been playing hide and go seek and playing army men with my buddies and cowboys in Indian snow. I was doing things that were so perverse, so sick. They should have never been done to an adult, much less a child. Are y'all with me? And yet I'm not going to allow the people that caused me great pain in the past to continue to cause me pain and divide me and Jesus up and make me lose my anointing. Are y'all with me? See, I've only got a certain amount of room in my heart, and I want it to be filled with love and the Holy Ghost, not unforgiveness. Are y'all with me? You see, we live in a culture of unforgiveness. Now, come on, let me just get right up in the men's grills right here. How many movies have you loved and cheered for where the good guy hunts down and kills the bad guy? I have a certain set of skills. I will find you, and I will kill you. And the whole movie, we're getting, 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 getting. Are y'all with me? And then when he gets him, what do we do? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! We celebrate demonic unforgiveness. Is it any wonder it's so hard to follow Jesus' teaching when everything around us is in opposition? Are y'all with me? It's crazy. So we throw the word forgiveness around, but man, it's a big deal. Here, listen, don't let a grudge become a grave for your spirit, because it will. In Matthew 18, you may want to look that up in your Bible. We're going to go there in a minute. But the beginning, Peter asked Jesus a question. Lord, when my brother sins against me, how often do I have to forgive him? Seven times? Now, Peter's feeling pretty magnanimous. Pretty magnanimous. Because in Jewish culture, it was three. So he double plus one. I got it covered, baby. I mean, seven times. Jesus said, no, that's crazy talk. 70 times seven. See, if we follow Jesus, we should walk in limitless forgiveness. Limitless forgiveness. Instead of looking for who offended me, how about looking for who I can forgive? It's a mark of Christ's followers. It's what we do. We live in a culture that's looking to be offended. Are y'all with me? We've got to apologize before every video on Facebook. We've got to give warnings. This may be offensive. There's a cute little puppy, but it may hurt a cat's feelings. And we got to, are y'all, that's what the world we live in. Are y'all with me? Instead of looking to be offended, let's look to forgive. But listen, this is where we mistake it. Are you with me? Come on, if you're listening, say I am. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Do you know that some of the things, some of the people that hurt you, they're dead? My first stepdad is dead. My biological father is dead. See, God desires to you to be done with dead things in your heart. And unforgiveness is death. Unforgiveness will keep you in a tomb. Unforgiveness is pouring kerosene on your body, setting yourself on fire and hoping it burns that other guy. You say, that is stupid as a stick. Right, so is unforgiveness. Because there are people that you're holding on, they're living their life, they don't give two rat's rear ends what you think. They hurt you, they don't care. They don't have a conscience, they don't care. And yet you're over here living under this bondage and burden, waking up in a tomb every day, hoping that because you feel terrible, it's going to bother them. Wake up! Wake up! The bulk of the people that screwed me over never came and said, I'm sorry. My stepdad's never said, hey, I'm sorry. They never said, my father never said, hey, I'm sorry that I forgot you for 30 years. I'm sorry that you got trashed and I'm sorry you got abused because I was out raising some other woman's kids. He never apologized. You know what? But he died at my house with me and my wife and my kids taking care of him. Why? Because I'm not going to walk in unforgiveness. I'm not going to do it. Unforgiveness keeps you in a tomb. It's crazy. It's crazy. Forgiveness is an incredible opportunity for gospel conversations. And you may say, well, you don't understand. I got saved when I was 7. The worst thing I ever did was smoke an orange crayon. That's all right. That's okay. We've all been forgiven. It's a great door. God's a great God. He loves to forgive. So who are you praying for this Easter? I've already invited 2 families, and I've got 3 more families that I know of. I'm praying for 5 families that I'm trying to get to come be me and Michelle, our special guests. Who are you inviting? Who are you inviting? Are y'all with me? Again, if we want to see a harvest, then bring people that need Jesus, not people that are easy to invite. Come on. So if you go to Matthew 18, again, forgiveness is so throughout the Bible. It is so, Jesus' teachings are so filled with it. So Peter asked him the question we talked about in Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him up to 7 times? Jesus said, I don't say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, stop. The audience is stunned. We've heard that before. No big deal. It's no big deal. See, in the Old Testament, if somebody killed your relative, you could go kill them legally. Unless they made it to one of the 3 cities in Israel that were safe cities. But you could go kill them, and there was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And these folks weren't about forgiveness. Have you ever read the book of Psalms? Kill my enemies, drag them to the street, gut them. I mean, are y'all with me? And so when Jesus looks at the crowd and says, no, you forgive the person that hurt you 70 times 7, there is a stunned silence in the room. Stunned silence. And then he does what I call a teachable moment. My family loathes teachable moments. When somebody has stepped into stupid, when somebody's wrecked a car, when somebody's flunked a class, when somebody's cut themselves or they've done something, I say, let's talk about that. Dad, this is not a teachable moment. Oh, but it is. And they hate it. Michelle, if I start, said, listen, I ain't one of your kids. I don't teach my moment over here. Get back, pastor. Or you need to be saved because I'm about to send you to see Jesus. So for this reason, now these people are stunned. Jesus steps right into this teachable moment. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wishes to settle his accounts with his slaves. Is Jesus the king? Are we his servants? Then there will be an accounting. And he began to settle them. One owed him 10,000 talents. Now, by the way, that is 410 years of salary. 410 years. Could that guy pay the debt back? Was there any chance? No way he could pay it back. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all they had, and payment to be made. The slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of the slave felt compassion. And he does two things you have to do. Are you ready? Two things. He released him, which means he wrote the debt off. He took his bill and wrote tetelestai, which is what is said on the cross. It is finished. It's paid for. The bill's done. And forgave him the debt. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. That's about 3.5 months worth of work. 410 years, 3.5 months. Who owed him 100 denarii, seized him, began to choke him, pay back what you owe. The fellow slave fell to the ground, began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will repay you." But he was what? Unwilling. And went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So his fellow slaves saw what had happened, and they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave." Look up here. When you choose unforgiveness, you move into the camp of the wicked slave. Are y'all with me? You okay? You wicked slave. I forgave you all that debt because you asked me. 410 years. I forgave that debt. Just because you asked, should you not also have mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And the Lord moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers. Listen, when you walk in unforgiveness, you will be tortured. That's why we call it a tomb. You are in a tomb being tortured until he should repay all that he owed. This is the most difficult verse in this parable. Verse 35, my heavenly Father will also do the same to each of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And if we could be all of our campuses, a few thousand people with us right now at this very moment, there's a lot of unforgiveness in the room. Now, let me tell you what made it easy for me to forgive the people that hurt me the deepest. Are you ready? When I realized that I did more to Jesus than they ever did to me. See, I was the 410-year guy. Those stepdads were the 100-day guys. And I was forgiven much. I should forgive much. It makes it for me, just me, it made forgiveness so much easier. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, we have a choice. We can release people. We can let them off the hook. Or we can hold them on the hook and live in the tomb. See, the people that hurt me the deepest as a child, I'll be doggone if I'm gonna let them keep hurting me. Are y'all with me? You say, but they don't deserve forgiveness. I didn't forgive them for them. I forgave them for me. I forgave them because I don't want anything coming between me and the Lord. And see, I only have so much room in my heart for love. And if I'm harboring unforgiveness toward those people, I've got less love to give God. I've got less love to give Michelle. I've got less love to give her children. My grandkids. See, they're her kids, but they're my grandkids. Y'all catch that? Does this make sense? Life and death, Proverbs 18, 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. How you speak about you and others reflects the level of forgiveness you've given. See, if you only speak death about someone, we only speak death about someone or ourselves from death, from the tomb. You don't speak life from a place of living. You speak death from a place of death. So you have a choice to get out of the tomb. And so let me just get all up in your face. Have you forgiven you? See, you certainly can't forgive anybody else if you haven't forgiven you. You say, Chris, you don't understand what I've done. No, you do not understand what Jesus did. His blood is efficacious. It is so powerful. It will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He that knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Confess your sin. He'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He will take your sin, wad it up, and throw it as far as the east is from the west. He will put it behind his back, and he will remember it no more. That's our God. That's grace. So have you forgiven you? See, some of us are keeping our own selves on the hook. Because I ruined my life. I talk to people all the time, man. They have such regrets. And some of them made some blunders. I know guys that aren't raising their kids. Mothers that aren't raising their kids. I've dealt with tens upon tens of thousands of people in my own family, everything. Listen, I just tell people, hey, listen. Regret is an anchor that you can let go of. Okay, I don't live with regrets. Did I step in stupid? Oh my gosh. You might think I like the stupid pool as many laps as I've swam. But I'm not living in regrets because the grace of God is too good. So listen, hear me in the name of Jesus. Forgive yourself. If you have been forgiven by God, then do you think you're more important than God? Let yourself off the hook. Release yourself and forgive the dead. Now the people that have hurt you, and we've all been ripped, robbed, and raped. We've all been done wrong, hadn't we? Come on, you live long enough, you're going to get stabbed in the back. It could be a spouse that took all your money. It could be a business partner that absolutely ruined you. It could be somebody that got on Facebook and so slandered your name. It could be a neighbor. It could be a parent that abandoned you, abused you. There's a million. Listen, there's no problem looking for pain. It's all around us. Are you with me? Or will you let them off the hook? Will you release them and forgive them? Spirit of God, show us who we need to forgive, who we need to release. Who need to release? Right now, just with your head bowed and eyes closed. As God brings names or faces or issues or thoughts about you or someone else, release them right now. Just whisper their name to the Lord. Right now, I release. I release and I forgive. I release and I forgive. I had to forgive my stepdads 1,000 times until it actually finally took. And there's nothing in my heart anymore toward them. Or my biological father. I release and I forgive. I release and I forgive. I release and I forgive. I release. I forgive. God, they're yours. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay. Now look up here. I was in my barn yesterday morning. I was praying for y'all. I was praying for this message. And a thought dawned on me as I'm writing my prayer out. And I'm asking God to let the word be so powerful this week and let it cut between the thoughts, the intents, the joints, and the marrow, for it is a revealer and discerner of the heart. I was asking God, and what the Spirit spoke to me about this message this weekend is, if you harbor unforgiveness, you're limiting love in your heart. Our heart is not limitless, right? Our heart is finite. There's only a certain amount of love you can have. And so the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, if you've got unforgiveness, you limited love. That means I can't love Michelle the way I want to love her, the way she deserves to be loved, the way Christ loved the church. I can't love my kids. I can't love you. If I'm harboring forgiveness, I've limited love. Some of you are wondering why you don't have enough love and why you're struggling in relationships, because you haven't walked out of the tomb of unforgiveness and you are limiting the love. You're limiting the joy. You're limiting the peace. You're limiting the victory. You're limiting the abundance. You're limiting the Spirit of God. You're limiting because the Bible says that your heart is the throne of Jesus in your life. Does this make sense? We keep stuck in a tomb. Walk out of it. Walk out of it. You walking out of that tomb this morning, releasing people, is like Easter Sunday morning, walking out of that tomb and that sun coming over the Mount Olivet, just rising up in that sun and being washed with God's love and God's presence, feeling God's presence, basking, just allowing Him to flow through you and in you. Woo! You don't get none of that when you're full of unforgiveness. Are you ready? Now, some of you, online and all of our campuses, some of you haven't been forgiven because you've never been born again. God says, I'm going to give you a mulligan. I'm going to give you a do-over. I'm going to give you a fresh start. I'll take your heart of stone and I'll put in you a heart of flesh and place my Spirit within you. He will adopt you. He will help you walk out the junk. See, the real true discipleship is just walking out of the junk. Are you with me? Just taking off the grave clothes, coming out of the tomb. And so, are we ready to let people off the hook? Now, if you're ready to get off the hook, then we're going to pray a simple prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to pray this simple prayer together. And this is you turning to Jesus. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know we're separated. It's all my fault. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your lordship. I ask you to come into my heart. I want to follow you. Show me how to love and walk out of the tomb. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, if you pray that simple prayer to all of our campuses online, just click those hands on the screen. Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I just want you to know I prayed that prayer with you. Gave my heart to Jesus. Got you. Prayed that prayer. Come on. All right. Now look up here. So a lot of people all around. If you're online, you can click the hands, fill the card out. If you're in one of our campuses, you can take your phone, click that round circle right in front of you, and a card will pop up. I'm about done. We still have time. We're going to worship a little. All around each of our rooms, you see easels that have a picture of an empty tomb. I want you to come if you feel led during this time of worship. There'll be prayer counselors. You can come take the Lord's Supper. But if you'll come and just take the pen, write somebody who needs God's forgiveness and who you're going to try to bring Easter. They're around all of our campuses right now. So as we stand to our feet, come on, everybody stand. All of our campuses, everybody stand. Our praise teams are coming out. Come on, can we see a harvest of God? Come on, can we see a move of the Spirit of God? So right now, just make your way to those easels as we worship.